Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us this week. When you get a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com.
.com? Is that a new...
Wow.
You're creating a new...
.com.
Yeah. Maybe you need that. .com.
Maybe I need that. Yeah. Our 2026 Best Buy list is up. That's the big news there. And my review of the Polestar 3 going up in a moment.
In a moment.
Yeah, like 12 hours. I got okay. stuff to do.
That's not really a moment.
All right. That voice is Jill Simonillo, contributing editor here at ConsumerGuide.com, prolific freelancer, and North American Car of the Year juror. And I was late.
You were.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't even talk my way out of this one.
No.
I was late. Randy had to cover a little bit for me.
He did.
All right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm eating chili.
Uh-huh.
Because it's chilly outside.
So a lot of stuff happened last week. And I think there's one thing we don't actually need to talk about.
Okay.
And that's the EPA cuts.
Yeah.
They don't actually matter because earlier in the year, the current administration actually killed the ability of the EPA to fine manufacturers for being
right.
over these limits. So these limits no longer matter.
Yeah. I don't know why that was necessary, but there we are.
So manufacturers were going to need a cut anyway, even if they were going to pretend to meet these standards,
mm-hmm.
because they were going to make these standards with electric vehicles.
Right.
But the same administration that cut the standards also cut the incentive to purchase EVs, so EV sales were going to fall anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we said we don't really need to talk about this, but I do have to wonder.
Yeah, but you know what? Things steamroll. All of a sudden you're talking about it.
And then all of a sudden we're talking about it. So yeah. I wonder how much the makeup, because like all the, you know, I just listened to the We Are Motor Driven podcast, Sons of Speed, who occasionally fill on for me, that's their podcast.
Yeah.
And I was listening to their podcast about the return of the Hemi. And mm-hmm. Everybody's like, yes, now that these standards are gone, like all the cool things are coming back. And I'm like, will they? Because America isn't the only economy or the only market that matters. Like these
right.
automakers are developing vehicles for global scale. And maybe America wants the Hemi, but nobody else does.
There's no market for the Hemi outside
no.
of the U.S. And you're exactly right about what's going on over there at Ram. The Ram 1500 mm-hmm. now available with the Hemi again. And guess what? There's absolutely no zing or ding to Ram or to Stellantis for selling that engine again.
No. And so, I mean, they should bring it back. But I also love
financially,
the comfort.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense because if people will buy it, then they should have
it. Not only
it.
Will they buy it, they'll pay a lot extra for it.
Right.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, and
it's a $3,000 option.
The other part of this conversation that I find hilarious is everybody's like, now the cost of cars is going to come down. The cost of cars, by the way, hashtag in case you missed it, it is never going back down.
No.
Even if the car is going to cost less to make, they will still charge you what they are charging you right now.
Yeah, I mean, this underscores that exactly. We went into COVID with record sales. Right, I think 2019, we saw 18 million units.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten close to that since.
Mm-mm.
But manufacturers, up until very recently, up until the tariff madness, were as profitable as they ever were.
Yeah.
So the prices that got jacked up during chip shortages and other things, people kind of got used to them,
mm-hmm.
and shoppers are still paying them.
Yep.
So, no, prices aren't going to go down. Someone came up with a number that the average price of a car is going to come down $900. That's not going to happen. It's possible, but unlikely, that some less expensive stuff comes in from the bottom end. Doubt it.
Well, so here's the what I think the most likely scenario is. Prices don't go up. I mean, I don't think prices are going to go down, but I think that maybe they will hold the line. What the average transaction price of a new vehicle right now, I think, is like $50,000.
Yeah.
And that has gone steadily up. Over the last couple of years. So maybe that holds the line for a year or two, but I don't think that it's going to go down.
They're going to have to hold the line simply because people can't afford cars anymore.
Right.
We're right at that threshold. Yeah. Interesting fun fact. This is a little bit off topic, but not a lot. When we talk about that $50,000 average price, that includes the price of full-size pickup trucks.
Yep.
And those tend to average $60,000. Yep. Here's a fascinating fact. If you finance a $60,000 vehicle, mm-hmm. put 20% down, you pay tax on it, and you finance it for, God forbid, 6 years, 72 mm-hmm. months, which is the prevailing mm-hmm. Length of a loan now, your loan comes to almost exactly $1,000. So that's a line in the sand, right? I think regular car buyers would like to see something under $700, $800, but big truck buyers probably looking for something under a grand. They can't afford more.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay more. I mean, it's... Four digits is a big deal.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is why my husband and I buy used. Our car payment is, I think, like less than $200 a month.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I don't think I ever had, did I ever have a car payment over $300? I can't remember.
Yeah, I just, no. I mean, really run a tangent. I have a lot of, I pay attention to Dave Ramsey.
Uh-huh.
I don't follow everything he says to the letter, but I do believe
he irritates the crap out of me. But go ahead.
No, I believe he gives you a lot of smart advice. Like I said, yeah. There's stuff that I don't agree yeah. with. Like I think if you're going to pay your credit card off every month, you should have one because yes. you get points.
Yes.
But
you're not going to suddenly decide that you're going to just charge it up to 20 grand because you can.
No, no.
Well, some people do.
Some people do. I know people who do that. But no, I mean, I think in terms of car payments, like you should buy what you can afford. And if you like, and you should never pay more than you have to, like $1,000 a month, like that's rent. That's a mortgage payment.
There's Ramsey, and then there's, I can't think of her name, but there's another financial analyst that gets a lot of pop coverage.
Okay.
Susie Orman.
Oh.
But they both use about the same factor, in that yeah. your household, of your total income, take-home income, mm-hmm. so not growth, not your net income, you shouldn't spend more than a third on automobiles.
Yeah.
So if you need two cars.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, living in the city, we only need one.
Yeah, so affordability is still an issue. Car prices are not likely to go up much more mm-hmm. than they have. And there's been a lot of conversation about affordability on other podcasts. And
that's fake news.
Yeah, it's not. All right, fun, more fun stuff. Are you ready okay. for a fun thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was writing about the Polestar 3 today.
Okay, which will be going up momentarily.
Momentarily. 12 hours.
12 hours.
I might sleep before it goes up.
You're going to sleep less than like 8 hours?
Anyway.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, the Polestar 4.
Yes.
I was just looking in, and I may have gotten this wrong mm-hmm. on this show last week.
Okay.
The Polestar 3 is built in South Carolina.
Okay.
At the Volvo factory. Mm-hmm. The Polestar 4 is built, do you know this?
Yep. It's South Korea.
South Korea. This makes the Polestar 4 one of the craziest, most multinational vehicles ever.
Right.
So Geely owns Volvo and Polestar.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got China.
Mm-hmm.
The vehicle is built in South Korea. We mm-hmm. got South Korea by a French company. That's Renault. And then sold in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So that's four countries. And then we can double down. Renault Korea Motors, at RKM, where it's built in mm-hmm. Busan, was once owned by Samsung and Nissan. So there you have it.
Yeah. Well, and you haven't even thrown like the Swedish factor in.
No, right. It's a Swedish car owned by a Chinese company.
Right.
Built in South Korea by a French company.
And if that's not enough to make your head spin.
Yeah, so that's five nations.
Yes.
In doing some final research and writing about the Polestar 3, crazy doings at Polestar.
Okay.
It's not a good sign. I went to the Polestar website, and I'm looking at the Polestar 3 and the Polestar 4.
Mm-hmm.
Polestar is currently kicking in enormous discounts on 2025s. $18,000. That's not a rebate. That's like madness.
Yeah.
And when I went there yesterday, they actually had the prices of the car shown with slash marks through them and the new prices there. They didn't do that today. And it's I don't know why they're changing it or fussing with it. But the interesting thing is there are incredibly good lease deals on the Polestar 2,
mm-hmm.
which is going away because they're not going to move that anywhere from China.
Right.
So that's going away. So just 3 and 4 and then 5 is coming.
Yes.
All right. I got one more piece of news, and then you have a review.
Yes.
Two pieces of news. This one's short. The Chevy Bolt
okay.
is a 2027.
Okay.
Who knew?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2028, but I, you know.
So here's the thing, and I don't know how plugged into this you were, and it was a bigger deal years ago, but BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and Lexus have a contest every year. They can't avoid it because everyone covers it, to see who sells the most luxury vehicles in the U.S.
Okay.
For years, possibly decades, Mercedes always won that. Mm-hmm. But for at least the last 5 years, BMW has won, mm-hmm. and Mercedes has slipped under Lexus.
Ooh.
Third place of the top three. Yeah, it's a big deal. So Mercedes has this crazy plan to start selling. Here's the number so far this year. 275,000 for BMW, mm-hmm. 236 for Lexus, 224 for Mercedes-Benz through Q3.
Okay.
Those are the numbers. This is where this gets interesting. Mercedes has announced a plan to sell 400,000 units a year in the U.S. by the end of the decade. Good luck.
I know. It's like, good luck. We're all counting on you.
But I have a plan for them.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Should we get them on the line so you can tell them your plan directly?
I'm sure that they listen to this podcast.
100% sure. Okay. I can forward it to people. I know people.
Okay. People do listen to the podcast and correct me. I just wrote about the Ram 1500 Bighorn.
Okay.
And I called it something else. I forgot, but I got an email, and I'm very friendly, kind, and just, hey, loved your review.
But it's not that.
I called the Bighorn the Longhorn or the Longhorn the Bighorn. I don't know. But it was someone from Stellantis.
Oh.
But it was a very nice Dear Putz.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Hey, stupid. No.
Also, Bighorn uh-huh. on the badge uh-huh. is one word. But on the Maroni label, it's two words.
That's annoying to me.
It's an editor's nightmare.
It is an editor's nightmare.
My plan for Mercedes.
Okay, yes.
Are you
back
ready?
To that.
I even have like a commercial campaign laid out.
Okay.
The Ledger series. You're not interested.
I don't know. Okay,
so
go for
ledger,
it.
Ledger, like an accountant's ledger.
Okay.
The
okay.
Ledger series. And what Ledger is. Uh-huh. Is it versions of the C-Class, uh-huh. the GLC, the compact car and crossover, uh-huh. and the E-Class and the GLE, mm-hmm. the midsize car and crossover, that are slightly decontented.
Okay.
And like certain metallic paint's not available. They wouldn't have branded audio.
That means the only color you can get on the car is black?
Yeah.
Got it?
Something like that. 17-inch wheels become 16-inch wheels. And maybe you get like the MBTEX fake leather as opposed to real leather, something like that. But the base prices come down $2,000, something like that. Not a big deal. But those are the cars that you lease heavily.
Okay.
And the tagline is, the Mercedes your accountant would approve of. So it's not about going cheap. It's about the best value for your luxury car value.
Yeah, because a luxury car wants to be known for value.
No, but I mean, it is. If you think about wealthy people who buy these sort of cars, a lot of them tend, they used to be called the working rich.
Okay.
That's what people used to call the Mercedes-Benz E-Class buyer.
Okay.
And they do want to they want to save money, right? They're not, you know, they're not crazy.
Okay.
So that it wins the approval of your accountant is kind of a cool thing. The Ledger series.
Okay.
All right. You don't have to like my idea.
Yep, I don't.
All right. All right, fine. The Ledger series.
Got it.
All right.
I mean, it does sound catchy, but...
Yeah.
When you explain it, it doesn't.
Wow, it becomes less catchy.
Yes.
So the explanation ruins it.
Kinda.
All right. You just drove. You're driving.
I am currently.
A vehicle. We don't talk about heavy-duty trucks too often, but mm-hmm. you were driving the Ram Ram 2500.
Yes.
In what trim level?
The Black package? Express.
Black Express. So that's that package.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit about that last week. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're driving this humongo vehicle.
Yes.
Here's the deal about that. When we talk about large trucks, we're usually talking about half-ton trucks, 1500s mm-hmm. or 150s or something like that. And they're super capable.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them will tow up to 12,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more there.
Yeah.
If you step up from what's called a half-ton to a three-quarter ton, mm-hmm. you're towing nearly twice as much,
mm-hmm.
and you get those ridiculous, wonderful, huge diesels.
Yeah.
So anyway, you're behind the wheel of one of these.
I am.
Which is sort of amusing.
It is not sort of
Can
amusing.
Can you see over the steering wheel?
Barely.
Okay.
I have a picture posted on my Facebook page right now of me standing next to the truck, and I'm like, this falls under the category of things that make me feel small.
So tell us about the truck. Why are they circulating this thing now? It got an update for 2025?
Yeah, I feel like it got a big refresh for 2025.
And you're driving a 2026, sorry.
Oh, okay. And they added that Black Express package, which is kind of building on like the idea of a sport truck. So it's got the scooped hood. It's got the large tow mirrors. It's got a body-colored front bumper. It's got some things on it that you wouldn't normally get in a base version of the truck.
When Ram reports truck numbers, mm-hmm. it's all the trucks. So mm-hmm. it's the 15s, the 25s, the 35s, and even the 45s and 55s, I believe.
Yeah.
So this is another move for them to bolster sales. They lost mm-hmm. sales. We just talked about the Hemi. Mm-hmm. And obviously killing the Hemi hurt them a little bit.
Yep.
Which makes me really sad.
Because the Hurricane has more horsepower. I'm just going to put that out there.
We want to pay more for the worse engine.
Yes.
But
it's like, okay, sure, I'll take your money.
So are you driving a diesel?
I am.
So this is an expensive
It is.
Dog.
So what's interesting is this: the base price for this vehicle is, it's like, I was going to say about $52,000, but let me look at that exactly. Yeah, it's $52,540. Five.
Without the diesel.
Without the diesel.
And that's actually like a reasonable amount of money for a ton of capability.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to drive it around here, but...
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah.
The diesel engine is about $13,000.
13 grand.
Yeah.
They lose money on those.
Yeah.
They price them where they're at because mm-hmm. they don't think they could price it for that much more. And then they're just selling this enormously profitable big mm-hmm. truck with a lot of other options.
Yeah. But that's a This is a big vehicle. So I got it on Friday, and I looked at it, and I'm like, no, I'm not even going to try and fit it in my garage.
No.
And then I parked it on the street, which was fine, and drove it to Indianapolis. And I was really concerned that I would have problems keeping it in between the lane lines and that I would just not feel comfortable driving. But I was pleasantly surprised. It drives a lot smaller than you would think.
Almost has to.
But there are some like pickup trucks that do not drive small, and I've driven them all. And this oddly feels really good. I didn't feel like I was going to hit anything when I was driving down narrow city streets either. Like I felt like I had a good sense of the vehicle's size and proportions.
It is a bunch of truck though to try to get down a narrow side street.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. Like so, I live off of a one-way street heading east, and fine, no problem going that way. But there is a block over a two-way street that's the size of a one-way street. And the navigation kept trying to take me down that street to curve around. And I was like, yeah, no, I think I'm not going to do that. I think I'm going to go up to the next main street and take an extra, you know, half a mile, onto my drive.
Were you using the built-in navigation system?
Or? Apple CarPlay.
Okay. Yeah, the built-in system should almost take it to account.
Well, you know what? Maybe on the way home, I will use the native system and see what it does.
So tell us about the Express package, because it kind of dresses things up on the cheap, and that's what it's supposed to do for 2026.
Yeah. So, I mean, it adds, what's about $2,500 is what the package is. And
it's a lot of chrome, right?
It is some more chrome. Like I said, it's a body-colored front bumper. You've got the telescoping tow mirrors. I think they're like 20...
Oh, the body-colored bumper.
Yeah, body-colored front bumper. Yeah,
it's not the plastic though over the chrome or.
Yeah, it's what
like the tungsten.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
And then
that's a weird thing to see on a heavy-duty vehicle.
Yeah, so it's not. It doesn't have a chrome bumper. They're calling it a painted front and rear bumper.
Oh.
Painted. Get forward and reverse utility lights. You have sensors front and rear sensors, which, by the way, super helpful when you're parallel parking in Chicago. And it added the side steps. So the running board, everybody's like, how are you getting in and out of that vehicle? And I'm like, running boards.
I have a running board story if we have time.
And I'm like, what else? It's got the 20-inch black painted aluminum wheels. So yeah, it's got the like sport hood scoop on the front and just yeah.
Did it get a new infotainment system?
It has the large vertical infotainment system.
And now every Ram gets that, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think so. And
it's gigantic.
It is huge. Well, and it's funny because that's the most tech forward thing on this vehicle because the seats are cloth, the gauge cluster is analog, the seats are power. There is no lumbar support, and so I was like, I literally had to take off my coat and like roll it up and put it behind my back for a 3-hour drive, because there was no way I was going to be able to like drive hunched over for 3 hours.
So we're out of time here, but what did this cost with the diesel?
About $72,000, a little more than $72,000.
That's a lot cheaper than we've seen for some diesel-equipped medium-duty trucks.
But I want to say, overall, impressions are very favorable. Comfortable on the highway. Drives smaller than you think it would. Visibility for me as a small person is a little bit less than good, but the side mirrors, the tow mirrors, are amazing with your blind spots.
So you just drive around with a couple of phone books.
I thought about it, actually.
Are there still phone books?
I don't know.
We've had that conversation
before. I have a foam pad that I do balance exercises on, and I thought about bringing that out, but I did not. But I did contemplate.
All right. I have a surprise.
Okay.
After the break, we talked to Nick DiGilio.
Yes.
Chicago late night legend and host of the Nick D podcast. He has written a book.
He has.
I have a friend who's an author.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. All right. We're going to take a break and be right back with Nick.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Turn up the sound.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
Tom is off his game today.
And we're back. I'm not even bothering with the headphones.
No, you're not. I'm just
like, what happened to my headphones? That's like a Rubik's Cube thing.
It is not, actually, but
I couldn't
that's okay.
get that on my head.
Well, you do have a bit of a big head, so.
All right, yeah. And we're back.
Hi!
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She is Jill. And I'm running late every segment.
All across the board. I'm like eating chili and a donut, and I'm still like on my game. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I was talking about smart things, though.
Were you?
I was talking about things.
Were you?
All right.
Okay.
Big thrill for me. We've got Nick DiGilio in studio today. Nick, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Nick, you've had an interesting career. And I'm going to let you summarize it to the priorities you enjoy.
Okay. Well, I was, I'm celebrating 2025. This is the year I'm celebrating my 40th year as a film critic.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've been a film critic since 1985. Through that, I became a radio host on WGN Radio and spent over 35 years with WGN, over 20 of those years, 20-something years, hosting my own show. I had overnights. I started out doing overnights and weekends and fill-ins, and then I was the overnight host for a bunch of years. It was unceremoniously let go. Let's just say that. But still remained. Now I have a podcast, the Nick D podcast, two of them. I have a Nick D podcast and then a podcast about Saturday Night Live called That Show Hasn't Been Funny in Years, even though I think it has. I've done that, and I've got a website, nickdigilio.com, where I have a blog where I write about a bunch of stuff and write about movies.
Where people can now read your reviews.
Yes, they can.
This is exciting.
Yeah, every week I review every single movie. The reviews drop on early Saturday morning at nickdigilio.com, and I have a newsletter that you can subscribe to, and I host movie screenings once a month.
I'm not just kissing your ass now because I already got you in studio, so
yeah.
I don't really need anything from you.
Mm-hmm.
You are an excellent writer.
Oh, thanks.
I'm just throwing that out there because you expect like people in media to like be reasonably good writers.
Yeah.
But you're a really good writer.
Oh, that's really kind. Thank you very much. Before I started doing radio, I wrote reviews and I did them for the high school newspaper and all that stuff and I wrote a lot of plays.
I remember this.
That really doesn't have anything to do with being a good writer, but I did.
But you also produced those plays.
I did.
Three of them, two of them in Chicago?
No, a lot.
Oh, a lot?
Yeah,
okay.
A couple of them became really big and successful. When I was with the Factory Theater. That was a group that got together. We all like kind of didn't make it to the main stage of Second City, and we were kind of angry. And so they formed like a theater company. And so we were like, we can be as funny as Second City and funnier. And so we wrote a bunch of original plays. And all of those plays were produced by the Factory. Some went on to other theater
awesome.
Companies as well. But yeah, I wrote a lot of plays. Most of them were groin jokes and bodily function jokes. That was what I was really good at. So
good comedy.
Yeah.
Straight up good comedy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to talk about your book, but real quick so we don't forget, tell us about how people can get a hold of your podcasts.
Well, the podcasts are available at Radio Misfits Podcast Network at radiomisfits.com, but also it's available everywhere. You can go to every single platform. It's streaming. New episodes of the Nick D podcast, which is my entertainment podcast, which you are a regular guest on, Tom.
Thank you. Yes, I am. I enjoy it.
I do movie reviews. We talk about television, entertainment. I have a lot of my regular guests that used to be on my WGN radio show, and I brought them along to the podcast. And my co-host, we do a segment together at the end of each episode, is Esmeralda Leon, who did traffic for me on the overnight show and then became a really good friend. She's a great broadcaster. Tuesdays and Fridays, new episodes of that, and then Wednesdays, Saturday Night Live episodes drop, and it's radiomisfits.com or wherever you get your podcast.
Cool. People should listen. It's good stuff.
Thanks, man.
He's competition.
Well, you know, I have to ask how much you talk about Adam 12 when Tom is on.
How much do we, can we measure that?
Yeah, I don't know. Not enough.
Is it possible to measure that?
Not enough.
A lot recently. I mean, it used to be Gunsmoke and like Bonanza, but now it's like Adam 12 and Barney Miller. Those are the two.
And this is entirely because FETV changed its schedule. Because I do the Star Spotter thing, which we don't talk about a lot on this podcast, but Star Spotter is an important part of the cultural environment on Facebook.
Instead of Car Spotter?
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's practically the same thing. But they moved. I used to watch a lot of Gunsmoke, but Gunsmoke now isn't on when I watch TV.
So, at like 4 a.m.?
And Adam 12. No, like between 10 and midnight, I take a break from working. Then I go back to work.
Oh, man.
And then he'll spot, you know, like Ron Howard on some show or and then take the picture of it, and then we talk about it. So
it's good stuff.
I'm long sleeping by the time you're going back to work.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Nick, you wrote a book.
I did.
And it's not only did you write it, you got it published.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
That seems like half the work.
Yeah, it's published by Eckhart's Press. They're a Chicago publishing house run by two really, really great guys. And there takes more than two people to run it. But the main two guys are David and Rick. They also host a podcast on the competing network that I mentioned. I'd written the book, and we were trying to think about how, like, well, am I going to self-publish it? Are we going to go through Amazon? But Amazon, the money situation at Amazon is just not, you know, like the amount that they take for the little that they do. It's kind of a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
We did publish the ebook. It is available at Amazon on Kindle. So if you have a Kindle, you can get it on Amazon. But I would prefer that you go to eckhartspress.com and get
that's
it there.
Where I got these.
Yeah, Eckhart's Press. It's a paperback and a trade paperback.
Came really quick.
Yeah.
And there's still time for Christmas.
There is time for Christmas. If you would like to order it, you can go to eckhartspress.com and order it now. But yeah, I called up. I knew Rick Kempfer for a while. He was in broadcasting. He used to be Steve and Gary's producer.
Oh.
He produced John Records' Landecker for a while.
Oh,
so
sure. Somehow it wasn't connecting. I know who this is.
Yeah, we've crossed paths many times in the broadcasting world. And I was like, this guy has a publishing company. And then I sent him, you know, the book, and I was like, here, man, you know, and he read it, and he's like, yeah, we need to talk. This is right up our alley, because they do sort of Chicago-centric books, or books that were written by Chicagoans. And so he's like, yeah, man, we should do this. And the turnaround was amazing. When I got them the copy and, you know, I mean, between getting it to them, them approving it, saying it was cool, and then me getting my first, you know, book, which is really kind of insane when you get the book.
I imagine.
And like, wow, that's my name is on it. But here's the thing that was really crazy. Like, I turned it over and I was like, wow, there's a barcode on it. This is real.
It's a real book.
So but the turnaround was great. The book looks great. They've done an amazing job. And I couldn't be happier with Eckhart's Press. They're amazing guys.
Well, we should talk about the book and how you lay this out. And I need, there's a car thing in here. And I know you're aware of the car thing, but I don't know if you know how deeply and weird Lee, this car thing.
You're gonna have to remind me because the car thing.
First thing you reviewed.
The first movie.
Yep.
Oh, Lost in America.
Yes,
that's my favorite movie from 19. Because the book is set up where there's a little autobiography of me at the beginning where I talk about me from birth to 1985 when Roy Leonard, who the book is dedicated to.
If we have time, I want to talk about that chapter.
About the movie Me Growing Up?
Yeah, because there's some stuff in there about TV you watched.
Yeah.
That's killing me. And my take on it's a little bit different than yours.
Okay.
So I want to get to
that.
Well,
you and I are the same age.
Yep.
So, But yeah, the book is dedicated to Roy Leonard, who I would not have a career without him. Roy brought me into his radio show on WGN and, you know, had me be a part of his show, even when the bosses at the time were like, nah, who is this punk?
Wait, and he had, was he Saturday or Sunday where he had his big
Saturday
show?
He had a Saturday show as well.
Okay.
He was on weekdays, middays, and then he would also do, he was on six days a week.
And he was the movie review guy.
He was. And the reason I loved Roy was because I was a big movie fanatic, and like I knew who Gene and Roger were. I knew that, you know, like I read their stuff, but they weren't accessible. Like you couldn't call them. Roy, I could call and go, why didn't you like Caddyshack? You know, and then Roy would go, because it was stupid, you know, or whatever. And then, but then Roy,
I
every time I talk about Roy, I break into the Roy impression. But I dedicate the book to Roy, and then the book is like sort of autobiographical where my stories are weaved in and out. But the crux of the book, the reason why it's called 40 Years, 40 Films, is because my favorite movie from each year, starting in 1985, I do a whole essay. And I write about each one of them. And 1985 was the first year I was a critic, and the first movie in the book, my favorite movie of 1985, was Albert Brooks's Lost in America.
You matured faster than I did. I don't think I would have picked that movie in 1985.
No.
I was young,
yeah.
And I was still looking for, I think, guns.
Yeah.
Cars being driven fast. And the occasional boob. I mean, that's the kind of thing.
No, I wasn't above that. Trust me. I'm still not. Are you kidding me?
I'm like, and I have to say, I am like a horrible person to be engaged in this conversation because literally last night I made my husband watch the K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh.
That's like my level of movie.
Oh, yeah,
it's
sure.
One of the biggest movies of the year. It's made millions of dollars.
I found it to be very entertaining. My husband did not.
It just got a Golden Globe nomination today.
Yeah. So I'll have to tell him that. It probably won't make him like it any better.
No.
He's like, I can't believe I just wasted an hour and a half of my life.
I just watched a movie by accident.
Okay.
I've been wanting to watch this movie. I watched it once when I was young, and I didn't fully appreciate it. The Day of the Jackal.
Original, that's a good movie.
The original Day of the Jackal. Yeah. Somebody broke it down to six-minute chunks, and I've been watching it on YouTube.
Six-minute chunks of the Day of the Jackal? I was going to say, this is going to take you a couple of months.
It's going to take a while. But I did watch it between, like whenever I would take a break. I'm like, I'm watching six more minutes of this really good movie.
It is a good movie. It's a great my favorite, unfortunately, it's not really in. It's a great way to not publicize the book. My favorite decade for movies is the 70s, and none of that is in here.
Right.
Except for I do have a list of my favorite movies from birth to 1985 in the
band. Actually, that was today, my daughter. Just nodding and tisking and nodding. It was so funny. Yeah. She's like, okay, most of my favorite movies from this year are here, but they're in the wrong order.
Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot.
Yeah.
So the book has those 40 reviews and autobiography. And then in the back, there's all of my top 10 lists from 40 years. So there are 400 movies in there that have been ranked by me.
And I feel like I have 398 movies to watch.
That you have
based
to catch
up on. Based on your recommendations.
Surprisingly, I have seen most of those 400 films.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I'm closer to my closer than my daughter to your list. Like, I'm pretty good with the list.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind the Coens maybe getting a little jacked too.
Yeah. One of my publishers, after he actually was like, he actually did a deep dive into the book and he was looking at it and he was interviewing me on the podcast. He goes, oh, wait a minute. How is Fargo not number one in 1996 and why did we publish your book?
Oh.
My daughter asked that same question today. Yeah. Yep. All about Fargo. Yeah. And where was Royal Tenenbaums? Was
number one.
Okay, good.
Of 2001.
We're friends again.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was number one. Although his recent movies, I can't stand them.
Yeah.
His Wes Anderson stuff now.
Oh, so the Mercedes thing I was going to talk about.
Oh, okay. Mercedes thing.
So Lost in America, which is a wonderful movie. It's hilarious. It is. And I watched it later in life and... like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's so good. Albert Brooks just
he's
kills.
The best. He just kills.
But there's that thing in the beginning of the movie where he's shopping for a Mercedes.
Yeah.
And he's talking to an extremely arrogant Mercedes salesperson that isn't really giving him that much time.
Right.
And Albert Brooks is trying to clarify the leather situation.
Yep.
Here's the deal. In those days, Mercedes didn't generally equip cars with leather. They had something called MB Tex.
Don't they still have that?
Yes.
They
don't call it that anymore.
Right.
But is this stuff that wears better and actually they think looks better?
Synthetic
leather. It's high-grade stuff.
Yeah.
But Albert Brooks wants leather.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, the salesman just keeps saying, it's Mercedes leather. It's good.
Yeah.
And he wants to hang up on him. He keeps talking. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And then later on in the movie, Albert Brooks is working as a crossing guard.
Right.
Dude shows up in an S-Class.
Yep.
And he just gets up and looks in the S-Class and goes, is that leather?
Yeah.
And the owner of the car goes, It's a Mercedes. What else would it be?
Of course it is, yeah. What are you doing smelling? What's with the smell?
I mean, that's funny anyway, yeah. But if you knew anything about Mercedes at the time, it kills.
Well, if you remember, by the way, the person he's on the phone with is Albert Brooks. It's him doing a voice. So he's talking, it's Albert Brooks.
I didn't realize that.
That's Albert Brooks doing a, he's playing the Mercedes salesman. Hans is his name, Hans. But he says one of my favorite line in that whole exchange is like, you would think I'm paying all this money, you would think it would be leather. All right, okay, I'll throw in a pair of shoes is what the
That's so good.
Yeah. No, I love Albert Brooks. He's one of my favorite people in the world, and that was easily my choice for 85.
But enough of the first of 40 movies you reviewed. What else you got?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because when I was putting this thing together, I guess I should. I mean, 40 years, I'll pick my favorite movie from each year. And I went back and I was looking at my top 10 lists. And I was pretty happy with all of them. The only movie that I actually changed from my original top 10 list as time went by was 2002. And in 2002, my original choice was Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler.
Okay. I just saw that.
Yeah. It's like a weird movie. Yeah. I love it. It's Paul Thomas Anderson. He's got what I think is the best movie of the year out, One Battle After Another, which is getting all kinds of year-end awards.
I need to see that before it leaves theaters.
Amazing. Well, it already left, so you're a little late.
Missed it.
But it'll get re-released because it's going to be nominated for a lot of stuff. But anyway, so my original choice was Punch Drunk Love, and then like I made the list, I did it, and then about 6 months later, I saw for the second time Spike Lee's 25th Hour.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa, I missed the boat on this one. I don't know why. I was like in a funk or something when I saw it the first time and it didn't hit me. That's the only time I've ever gone back to a top 10 list and changed it. So 25th Hour is the movie that I write about for 2002.
There is a movie on this list I saw, one of the movies you review, that I sort of forgot about.
Okay.
And I wish I hadn't, because it is one of those movies that is painful. Painful.
I have
to
a
watch.
Lot of painful movies in
this one. Snowballs like crazy, and that's A Simple Plan.
Oh man, yeah.
that movie is so crazy. I'm afraid to watch it again.
Yeah, 1998. That's my number one movie in 1998. Have you seen Simple Plan? No,
man. I'm telling you,
you would enjoy
like,
it.
I have all. Would I? I don't like painful, and I don't like uncomfortable.
It's
humor.
It's one of those things.
Well, it's
where,
not humor, but okay. It's very uncomfortable.
I don't like
it's
uncomfortable.
It's very, very suspenseful and really, really tense.
Okay, life is uncomfortable.
It's just. Imagine the worst day you ever had, and it's just sort of like every time. Who's
Bill Paxton, Billy Bob Thornton.
He thinks he's done something, and he thinks everything's fine. And every time he turns around, Billy Bob Thornton has made the situation so much
they
worse.
They find a bunch of money, stolen money, in a plane that's crashed in the wilderness. And they think, okay, well, and that's never a good thing.
No,
and
walk
it's like,
away.
Who's going to do the money? Who's going to have the? And then it just gets really complicated and dark, and it's really there's a sequence in the movie. There's a long sequence in the movie. It's one of the most suspenseful things I've ever seen in a movie. I love that movie. Sam Raimi directed that. He's mostly known for horror movies. He's mostly known for the Evil Dead movies, and he did the Spider-Man movies, the first three Spider-Man movies, and he's done Marvel and horror, and then here's this dark sort of very, very twisted little conspiracy thriller. It was really good. Really, really good movie.
I have read a third of this book so far, and it's super good.
Thanks, man.
It is super good.
I appreciate it.
And if I had time to read things at night, I would put this on. That's the thing I used to do. I used to have three or four books that I would read chapters from.
But you're too busy watching Barney Miller.
That is what's happening. That is. So what are you going to do? It's Barney Miller.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But this book is fabulous. It's a really good size for stocking stuffing. Remind us how we can get this.
You can go to eckhartspress.com, and that's E-C-K-H-A-R-T-Z, eckhartspress.com.
We will link to that in the show notes.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I have a, since we're live right now, on Friday night, my book launch party is at Kaiser Tiger, which is a really cool bar. They have bacon and sausages and all kinds of and curling. You can curl while you're there.
I've never curled.
Ice there. And it's at 1415 West Randolph.
You can put a handle on Jill and curl her.
Thanks. I have a friend who's a professional curler.
So really?
Yeah, I do.
So what else does she do for a living?
She's a Pilates instructor.
Okay.
Yeah. Does she do the sweeping or the actual throwing of the...
I think she does throwing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So at Kaiser Tiger, I'm going to be signing books. It's the book launch party.
Awesome.
It's this Friday the 12th from 6 to 8 p.m.
Excellent.
So books will be on sale, and I'll sign them there.
Nick, thank you so much for making the effort to be here. And because you're here, you're stuck doing the quiz.
I'm all for it, man. Right. I loved it the last time.
Chances are you will probably win.
You think?
Yeah.
I hope so.
It's a good quiz.
I hope so.
It's a good quiz.
I hope so.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back...
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Hi, it's Brendan from Sons of Speed. You've heard me and my colleague Paul on the Car Stuff podcast whenever Jill's out of town. But now you can hear us every week on the We Are Motor Driven podcast, along with Jennifer from Auto Exotica and Harvey from Rides and Drives. We talk about everything from sports cars to trucks to EVs and our favorite, speed. So join us each week by searching We Are Motor Driven wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. He is Nick DiGilio in studio this week, which is awesome. Jill, you've got some social media stuff to get out of the way?
I always have social
media stuff.
Just
wake me up when you're done.
Yeah. No, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky, all the things. You can find me at Jill Simonello. And I use the hashtag CarDuJour. And I've been really trying to build my YouTube channel lately, so I would love it if you would go on over there and give me a follow and comment on my stuff.
You're trying to build the channel, but you took down the Car Stuff Podcast.
I'm working on it, getting it back. It's just really hard to do the video and sync the audio. All it was taking like hours of my time.
People are like, Tom, why can't I see you on YouTube anymore?
You really want to be seen?
No.
Okay, because I mean, I will try very hard to make that happen.
No, maybe, we're good.
That'll be a 2026 New Year's resolution, is to get that back up on my YouTube channel.
All right, sounds good.
Yep.
All right, it's quiz time.
Okay.
And I came up with a great quiz.
Okay.
The Pepsi's coming up on me.
You can't eat donuts. You can't drink Pepsi.
Yes, it is.
I'm just going to be like, you should not have anything while you're doing the show.
The thing is, I'm drinking Pepsi out of a bottle today.
Oh, sure. Excuses. So,
yeah, that is my excuse.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You're good at that. All
right. Today's quiz. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Fake colors.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a car, and you just have to tell me, and two colors, you have to tell me which one is the fake color.
Okay.
It's that easy.
I'm going to say that Nick and I probably have an equal opportunity to...
That was sort of the idea.
The entire quiz is about fake colors?
Yes, okay. Except the bonus question.
Okay.
Which
five questions.
Probably be about the Hallmark channel.
No. No, but it is about Christmas.
Okay.
All right, so I've got
five. Are we working as a team, or are we...
No.
We're
pitted against each other.
She's your nemesis.
Oh, all right. So she gets a question, then I get a question. All right.
Well, we get the same question.
Oh.
And he alternates who goes first, and
So, Nick, you go first. The car is the 2026 Mercedes-Benz E-Class. That is their midsize sedan. Still very popular. I'm going to give you two colors. One of these is fake. Pick the fake. Sonoran Brown Metallic or Jalisco Bronze Tricoat?
They're both ridiculous.
Yes, and I stayed with the theme. I want points for that.
One more time on the
cards. Sure, I love reading these again. Sonoran Brown Metallic or Jalisco Bronze Tricoat?
What was your theme?
What, they're both Mexico.
Oh, how about that?
Sonora? Okay. Which I think is a state, and still I think Jalisco is a city.
Okay.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Am I answering? I'm answering.
Yeah, so Sonora
I'm
going to
go
Jalisco.
Now, if I pick, does that mean you're stuck with the other one?
No.
Oh,
we
you
can
pick
the
same
one.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. I'm sorry. I'm very confused
nope,
right
nope,
now.
That's all right,
but I'm an
idiot.
That's because I'm very bad at this.
No. Yeah, no, you're better than Dick Clark. all right. Let's see. The second one.
Jalisco Bronze
yes,
is the
I'm
fake?
Gonna, I'm going to go with that.
I'll go with the Sonoran whatever.
No, Jalisco's the fake. Nick gets a point.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Well, all right.
You're a lefty, too.
I am a lefty. Yeah, I saw your shirt.
I'm not a lefty. This is why the deck is stacked against me today.
I'm a lefty. I'm either an idiot or a genius.
Right.
Those are your choices.
Why not both?
Yeah.
That's possible.
Yeah.
All right. Jill, you have no points.
Your favorite phrase.
Yep. The 2026 Honda Accord. Are you ready?
Sure.
Urban Gray Pearl or Uptown Argent Mist? I love the word argent.
I'm like, that just sounds way too bougie for a Honda color.
Which?
Argent.
Oh.
Like that word.
That used to be the... Ford used to call the steel wheels on the F-150 Argent.
I don't even know what that is.
There's a band called Argent from the 70s who did Hold Your Head Up.
Oh, yeah. Going to need an answer.
Read them again.
Urban Gray Pearl or Uptown Argent Mist?
I'm going to say the first one.
Is the fake?
Yeah.
All right, Nick?
I'm going Uptown Argent just for the song Hold Your Head Up.
Nick gets another point.
Wow.
Yep, that's the fake. Jill, you're in trouble.
I am in trouble. Like, colors are not my thing.
Yeah, the quiz goes back to Nick. The 2026 Porsche 911.
Oh, well, I've seen Risky Business is one of my favorite movies.
Olive Neo, or Corfu Fig?
I'm going Corfu Fig.
As the fake?
Yeah.
I'm actually going Corfu Fig, too.
Yeah, that is the fake. I figured olives are Greek and Corfu is a Greek island, so.
And then fig?
But then the word fig, yeah, I don't know. All right, you both got a point.
Well, you can have olives and figs at the same time.
You can. Yeah. I've been to a Roman orgy.
What?
La 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 la. I am not listening to you. La la
what is,
la la.
What is the terrible, terrible movie about a Roman emperor?
Caligula. Yeah, with Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, that would have figs and olives.
Oh, it had all kinds of stuff in the wrong places.
Me and my buddies rented that one night, but we had too much beer, so I don't actually remember the movie.
I saw it at the Davis Theater on the Lincoln. I snuck into the Davis Theater to see it on Lincoln Avenue. Yeah. 14, I think.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, Jill, this question goes to you. The Toyota Corolla, 2026 Toyota Corolla, Polar Vapor Metallic or Windchill Pearl?
And we're looking for the fake?
You're looking for the fake.
The first one.
Polar Vapor Metallic?
Yeah.
Nick, this question goes to you.
I'm going to agree. I think it's Polar Vapor Metallic.
It is. You both get a point.
We both agree.
I have, like, officially lost here.
No. Actually, no.
Yeah? Well, he's got four,
if you get
right.
This next one right... Oh, no, yeah, you're screwed.
No, I've officially lost.
No, you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, we could maybe eke out a tie, but I've lost.
Yeah, no. All right. This is for fun, then.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
for funsies.
We could talk about this later, but you owe me lunch.
You hit your 500
I hit
followers
my number.
On Blue Sky? Okay.
Yeah. You're on Blue Sky.
I am.
Yep. And Radio Misfits is on Blue Sky.
Yes, they are. Yep. Radio Misfits is everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, the 2026 Chevrolet Silverado.
Okay.
Riptide Blue Metallic or Cobalt Foam?
Ooh, those are both possibilities. That's good. I'm going to go with the second one, Cobalt Foam.
Cobalt Foam is the fake?
Yeah, I think.
All right, Jill, Riptide Blue Metallic or Cobalt Foam?
Yeah, I think Cobalt Foam is the fake.
All right, and you said...
I said Cobalt Foam.
You are both correct.
Yeah,
we'll get that. And Riptide, I could see Foam, not so much.
Right.
I see your theme there, though.
Nick would Riptide be hard to foam. Prank. Nick has gotten every question correct.
Yeah?
Did I get everything right so far?
You did. Good job.
What in hell is happening?
I will point
Why
out
can't
that
I do that in my real life?
If I were doing this alone, I would have won because I would have gotten 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
I feel bad being here now.
Yeah. Yeah, nice job making our guests feel guilty.
I'm good at that.
All
what
right.
else can I do to heap some of my Catholic guilt on you?
The bonus question, of course, always relates to the topic of today, of the day. Today's topic is Christmas in Germany. I need, this goes to you first, Jill.
Okay.
I need you to find the fake German Christmas menu item. I've got 3 items here for you. One of them is fake. Are you ready?
Yeah, because I love German food.
Knödel, Lebkuchen, Fussgeruch, or Blaukraut. By the way, we didn't call it Blaukraut when I was a kid. Oh, I gave that away. All right. I gave you a freebie.
But it is Blaukraut. So we're looking for the fake one.
Yep.
I think it's Knödel.
It has umlauts on it.
Okay.
That might be fake. I love umlauts.
Maybe you're saying it wrong, too.
My daughter has a t-shirt, or she needs a t-shirt. I need to make it that says umlauts are always funny. Just putting them on anything? Hilarious. All right, so Knödel, Lebkuchen, Fussgeruch. You picked...
Knödel.
Is the fake?
Yeah.
All right, Nick, this question goes to you.
Yeah.
Knödel, Lebkuchen, Fussgeruch, or Blaukraut?
Fussgeruch.
Is the fake?
Yeah.
You got every one of them right.
Wow.
Yeah, Knödel is potato dumplings. Lebkuchen is gingerbread. Every year, my cousin in Munich sends me this giant box of like 50 types of Lebkuchen. It's like some crazy Munich Bavarian thing.
Is it dessert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gingerbread, and it's not like gingerbread stuff here.
No.
It's very intensely gingery.
Very gingery.
Yeah,
oh, little, I would love
and
that.
European, a little dry. You want to soak it in something.
I love ginger. I love ginger ale. I love ginger beer. That's my big.
And I did have a gingerbread donut a couple weeks ago got the thumbs up. So.
Those are good.
All right, so Blaukraut is red cabbage.
Okay.
Which I ate a lot of as a kid. We didn't call it that because that's blue. Blue cabbage is a weird name for that. And then Fusgeruch is foot odor.
Foot odor.
Yeah.
So I thought canoodling was like, you know, like a slang for like when people are like canoodling or something.
Yeah, you're
like
talking or hanging out or whatever. Yeah. Look at those that's people what, canoodling.
Yeah.
I've signed the quiz.
I do not get it.
To you because there you go. You win.
I get the copy of the quiz.
Yeah.
You will have to frame that and put it on your desk.
I will.
Or just throw it away. I mean.
So we have a couple minutes here still. Nick, tell us a little bit about the SNL podcast.
Well, the SNL podcast drops on Wednesday. I've watched every single episode of Saturday Night Live since the very first episode in October of 1975.
That's insane.
I have, and it's ridiculous. Not live all the time.
There's sure.
A period of time where I would videotape. I would videotape them. And anyway, each week I concentrate on a different either episode or a sketch. Sometimes, I mean, the very first episode that I ever did was about the potato chip sketch, which is one of my favorite sketches of all time.
Which people can watch on YouTube.
Yes, they can.
It's one of the weirdest.
It's one of the weirdest sketches in the history of Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And right out of the gate, I wanted to let people know that I was going to dive deep into Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
The entire episode is about that sketch. It's Will Forte, Jason Sudeikis, and the host was Blake Lively that night from Gossip Girl. And it's one of the weirdest sketches. So I concentrate on that kind of stuff. And then I have guests on. I've had John Rudninsky on. I've had Michael Longfellow, writers and other people. And then sometimes I just concentrate on other stuff. And I've had guests on to pick their favorite sketches and stuff like that. The latest one that I just recorded, which will drop in a couple of weeks, I did an entire episode dedicated to the one time only that Jerry Lewis hosted Saturday Night Live.
I didn't know that happened.
It was November of 1983, and it was insane. Insane. And,
in a good way or a bad way?
Both.
Okay.
That's the case with Jerry Lewis. It's always good or bad. I worship the man, but I can understand why people are like, he's insane, and I don't understand him at all, which is the case with this episode as well. So.
Okay.
Right, I needed to touch on something, and we have enough time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon television.
Are we back to Adam 12 again?
No.
Okay.
This is about Nick's book. And
okay.
He did a little biography at the beginning of the thing. You talked about some shows he used to watch as a kid.
Yeah.
Kind of about the limitations of the TV we had access to. But you mentioned the Bowery Boys, the Dead End Kids, Bon Pot Kettle.
Yeah.
Blondie.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about that stuff. I don't remember it as fondly as you because it was sort of a punishment moment for me. We would go to my dad's mother's house after church.
Yeah.
So I'd be wearing my nylon dress pants and I wasn't allowed to lie down on the floor, but my grandmother's house was set up like living room, front room.
Mm-hmm. And, I gotcha.
And you couldn't see the TV except by sitting at the very end of the couch, which is lined along the wall of the room that the TV was in. So you had to lean over really far to look at the TV and we'd be watching these shows and I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to wear my dress nylon pants, my polyester pants.
Yeah.
I didn't want any of the crap my grandmother had baked. And I just wanted to leave. And my cousin Joe was always there. And he got the only chair in the room.
Oh.
And he also picked what we watched. And so I swear to God, Family Classics.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Roy Leonard would host for a little while.
He hosted after Frasier. Yeah.
Yeah. That Family Classics showed Sink the Bismarck 7 times a year. And I somehow feel like that was always on.
Yeah.
And you think that I was young enough to really enjoy watching a German boat get blown up out of the water, but it gets old.
Yeah.
Strangely, that gets old.
Yeah.
So, and then Blondie was really weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, those were on.
Yeah.
You know, I there was TV on all the time when I was growing up, and I had no restrictions. My parents didn't care. You know, they were like, yeah, you can stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. And
my parents pretended to care.
Yeah. My dad took me to see The Exorcist when I was 8. So that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of says a lot about who I am now. But no, Bon Pot Kettle and all that stuff, they were on. They were constant. It was constantly on, and I loved all that stuff. All that.
I would have loved it, and I think if I was more comfortable, I would.
Well, sure. Were not wearing your nylon pants.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I was wearing. I was probably wearing sweats or something when I was watching.
But I did enjoy always the. And you had a name for them, and I didn't know that these were as related as they were. And that was the Japanese half hour stuff.
Yeah.
Godzilla, Ultraman, or Godzilla was the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if there
Well, no. Godzilla was a movie. You know, the movies is what I kind of talk about in the book, is that those were like the Saturday afternoon. I would go over to my Aunt Josephine's house.
Okay.
Like, much like you would go over to your grandmother's house. I would go over to Aunt Josephine's, and she would have a small TV, and she would be making pasta and sausage and stuff in the kitchen, and I'd be off to the side room. She had a very small apartment. I'd be off to the side room, and every week we'd go over there on Saturday afternoon, and I would watch Ghidra and Godzilla and all of the Godzilla films, the kaiju movies.
And that included Mothra.
Yeah, Mothra, yeah, of course. Yeah. Destroy All Monsters and all that stuff. Now, Inframan and Ultraman, those are TV shows.
Okay.
And those are different. They're hilarious and they're awesome, but they're different.
I loved Ultraman.
Oh, me too. Are you kidding? Man. It was the best.
That's good stuff. Rick, yeah. Nick, thank you so much for being here
today. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, we're out of time. Anything to announce? Do we know who's on next week?
We do, but I do not have it in front of me at the moment.
All right.
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
We have a guest next week.
We do have a guest next week.
All right. This has been the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. Big thanks to Nick DiGilio, host of the Nick D Podcast. Thank you, Jill. Mm-hmm. Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.